the heck is that? I'm coming, I'm coming. Chill, chill. Oh, man, these guys. No, yo, if I'm laying down, God, I gotta chill. My
you're now listening to the Coach's Challenge Podcast. Challenge the call.
All right, guys, welcome to the Coach's Challenge Podcast. I'm your host, H. You already know. Welcome to my crib, guys. Lamont, what's going on, bro? How you been, man?
Good. Things been going good with the Twitch. I finally got 27 subscribers, so you guys should go out and follow me. Go to That's Gertie at Twitch TV.
Nice. Yeah, you always got the Twitch going on. I know we got one more dude coming through. My man Mix coming through in a few. But, yo, I've been chilling, man. You know, it's been a crazy week in the NBA, like always, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get this pod started. You know, we don't got Carl in the house today.
Good. So we don't have to waste any time talking about the bum ass Knicks. So, all right, it's gonna be a good ass podcast.
Carl, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, what's good, Migs? Migs just popped in. What up, bro?
Migs here.
Chilling, Mr. Migs. What's going on, everybody?
Chilling. How you been, Migs? Everything good?
Doing good.
He's doing good. He just beat my ass in fantasy.
Talk about the Knicks now. I'm happy about that.
We ain't talking about no Knicks today. It's been a sad moment though, because you know, a year ago, you know, the Black Mamba, bro, untimely death, tragedy. You already know how that goes. I know you guys saw all over ESPN, all over Fox Sports. You know, they were mourning it again, and they were showing all the highlights and everything and reliving his 80-plus point game, 81 points, and
totally showing unreal, the greatness. Man.
It's crazy, man, because it's
totally unreal.
I can't believe that it was a year ago, bro.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like this, it went by so freaking fast. Like that, it's been a year that Kobe's gone. Like that's that shit crazy. Still feels like it was yesterday,
bro. And I was like, I always say, like, people in the podcast world know, they know that I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan, but. You know, you can't deny the impact that he had on the NBA, and you know, and for killers coming up, you know, because Kobe was a different kind of killer. You know, we could call MJ a killer, but Kobe took it to a level where he breathe, eat shit, and sleep that competitive shit, man. That's where he got the Black Mamba shit.
If Michael Jordan was a school, then Kobe Bryant is the number one student from the school of Michael Jordan.
Because
he, you know, we always dream. I always say it. You know, there was always that commercial. You know, be like Mike, mm-hmm. But Kobe
he was the closest thing to it.
Lamont, you being a Philly fan, did you ever think about
Kobe coming to Philly?
Yeah, Kobe going to Philly or something like that.
Hell yeah, when he was having the freaking beef with Shaq, and I was like, them dudes beat our asses. Get Kobe to Philly. We already knew Kobe liked AI, and he didn't like playing against him. He said he was annoying to play against because he's so hard to guard. So it was like, why have that stress in your life? Just come over to Philly and let it happen. But you know, during that era, we got screwed over a lot. So there's a lot. They should have did more to get Kobe back to the hometown, and they shouldn't have screwed up with us trying to get T-Mac. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to talk about this right now. This pisses me off.
I'm Philly fans. Yo, if y'all would have gotten Kobe at any point in time, old Kobe, young Kobe, middle age Kobe, career, you know, middle, in, yeah, in the middle of his career, y'all Kobe, y'all would have done something.
Like, look, we just went to throw with Kobe AI? For a little bit. We just went to throw Kobe for a little bit, all right? We didn't have to have him for his whole career. Just throw Kobe for a little bit, all right?
Yo, listen. The Bulls were about to... He was talking about going to the Bulls.
But yeah, because he was threatening
LA. I'm glad you said that.
He wanted to fulfill... He was beat MJ.
Exactly. He literally... There were, like, discussions. Like, the deal was basically almost done. And then the Lakers said, you know what? No, we got to keep him. And they got Paul Gasol. But he was literally gone. He was there. He was there already.
Yo, but wasn't he bluffing? Like,
no, he wasn't bluffing. He wanted, he legitimately wanted to go. And because, like, he understood that, like, Shaq was a superstar, but he wanted people to know that he was a superstar too. And he was like, you know what? Fuck it. This will be Shaq's team. I'm going to go to the Bulls from the guy that I idolize. I'm going to go on his team and I'm going to do the same thing he did. I'm going to get six rings. Or, matter of fact, he probably thought he was going to get seven by himself in
Actually, it was a little later on. The deal was after Dwayne Wade and Shaq won the championship with Miami Heat. Mm. So it was during that time. At that point, he was fine. Yeah, he was fine with taking the role of the Lakers. But then he realized, like, wait a minute, you know, I'm not getting that extra that second player, that number two. He didn't have that. He had a lot of, you know, he had a six man. He had the, you know, the shooters. He had the veterans all around him, but he didn't have that number two person that you could rely on to just be a scorer. And then, so that's why he was frustrated. He was like, you know, you guys are not trying to win. And if you guys are not trying to win, he was like, look, I want to go to the Bulls. I don't know why he chose the Bulls.
I was about to say, what was the Bulls? I don't remember what the Bulls team was at that time.
It was the Baby Bulls.
Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler.
It was the Baby Bulls.
Not Nate Robinson. Because it was before they got D Rose. No, it was before.
Yeah, D-Rose. It was before
D Rose. It was around the Jason Williams, around the Jason Williams era.
Ah, Jay Will.
And we almost had it, and then he was like, you know what? They got Paul Gasol, and the rest is history. But we was that close. You know, it would have been a great thing. It's funny enough, that's the last time I remember an All Star saying that they want to go to Chicago. Unfortunately.
Yo, also, you know, RIP to Kobe, but also this past, I mean, I think on two yesterday or a couple of days ago, Sekou Smith, the NBA TV analyst, he passed away due to COVID-19. So you already know, man, RIP to Sekou Smith, man. I know that shit hit hard in the NBA world because he was known. He was well liked. I'm hearing that he was, you know, like everybody, people, like the whole NBA world, even the commissioner, said some words about Sekou Smith's passing away because, you know, he was liked, well liked and well respected in the NBA world.
Wasn't this man only 49 or about to turn 49?
Yeah, I remember he was real. Yo, I remember he was real. He was big, like he was fat, overweight, and then he just lost weight out of nowhere. And I couldn't.
48 years old, man. That's some crazy. Man,
48, bro. COVID shit is real, bro.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of COVID, what's up with all these PPD games that postponements that have been going on? Yeah,
I mean, we're gonna get to that.
Look, I was mad about the PPDs, but like I said, it ended up coming into my favor for one league. Not the other one, because I needed those players to keep close to Mix, because he was beating my ass. Like, I came back in the middle of the week, but then once Thursday and Friday hit, that shit hit me hard.
Well,
I lost CJ. I lost Harden for a little quick bit. Like, it was not pretty. It was not pretty.
talking about PPDs and all these missing games and all that, one player that has yet to miss a game today. The King, LeBron James. Yo, how y'all feel about my man dropping 46 points at the age of 36 in Cleveland?
That's nothing. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yo, Migs, I feel sorry for Okoro, bro. Okoro, even though Okoro was guarding him the whole game.
That was your man's.
No, no, no. I agree. That's what we drafted him for, so he could get – you know, so he could guard the best player on the other team. But it was just a learning experience. That's all it was, because LeBron was doing all the teaching and Okoro was doing all the learning.
But what did you expect was going to happen? Like, any time a player goes to a team that he used to, that's what he's going to do. Like, no matter
This is not just an old team. Yeah, this, this is your hometown.
That's his team.
Championship.
That's his
Kyrie
team.
Kyrie didn't do that. Kyrie didn't do that.
We're not talking about that team real quick. I don't understand how you got, you know, let me not. We're not going to get into the Nets right now. But like I said, that's what you're supposed to do when you go back to old team, even if you left on the best of terms, right? You're supposed to go and you're supposed to give them that work. And you being LeBron James, debatably still the number one player in the NBA currently living. That's what you're supposed to do. And especially when you got a rookie on you?
If I was him, I would win for 50. Check this out. When I was watching the game, you know, I was watching it closely, and you know, I saw that Okoro was guarding him. You know, I didn't think nothing of it because Okoro's my guy. Cleveland is still, you know, my team. But then I realized, oh my God. I said, oh my God, this is not what it's supposed. We're not supposed to have this young kid on this guy. You know, so him dropping 46, I thought he took it as a disrespect. Yo, y'all putting Okoro, this little guy, on me? Get out of here, bro. Get this little nappy head boy out of here. But what, from what I did some more digging, and LeBron was angry at the fact that, well, he felt the way at the fact that one of the Cavs office people, like one of their organizations, somebody from their organization was clapping when he missed the shot. I think he missed the free throw or he missed the shot, and they were clapping.
The shot for the end of the third.
Yeah, for the end of the third, and then LeBron was looking back like,
you saw that, right? LeBron literally looked back and said, "Oh, word, all right, no problem," and just took over.
He really was studying that Last Dance, because he took that shit personally.
bro, that shit inspired everybody. And also, yo, Skip Bayless said, yo, the Lakers should pay. They should always pay a heckler to be in the crowd to taunt LeBron and to troll LeBron, because when you get LeBron mad, he gives his best performances, you know? So that's what Skip Bayless was saying. I kind of agree, because we don't get to see the mad LeBron all the time.
Cause like, I feel like that's the big knock on LeBron, because I'm not saying he's not a self-motivator, because he obviously does great. But like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
when it comes to terms of take over like this, he's not a self-motivator for that, because he is, like, I want to say, one of the ultimate like team players, which, to his credit, because of what he does, that's great. But because of his ability, it is nice to see him do this when he does it. And that's like the difference between him, Kobe, and MJ, because they know that they had to get to that level, right? But they purposely like mind fuck themselves to get there. They don't need that person to literally do it. Like, there's going to be people that do it for them, but they'll make themselves. They're crazy enough. They make it happen themselves in their head. Like, there could be no one in the crowd clapping at them missing a shot, but in their head, they have somebody on the side right there laughing at them. They missed a shot and it fucks them up. And then that's why they go off for what they do when they shouldn't.
My theory on that is that they're different play styles. You know, Kobe and Jordan are killers. Yeah. You have to have that self-killer in you, you know, that want to kill. Even if you see a nice guy in front of you, you want to kill him. LeBron is a different type. And that also attributes his assists. You know, he likes to see other people get off. He likes to get people, his teammates off, because he knows he's going to need them when he really needs them. So, you know, I think that has to do, you know, personality and all of that character,
definitely
all of that mixed in, bro. Listen,
the only reason why the Lakers have not missed any fucking games because of COVID is because the NBA knows where to protect their money at. Nobody gives a rat's ass about Phoenix or Orlando. Nobody cares about how many games. I didn't even notice that, like, Phoenix didn't play for, like, almost a whole month. You know, like these are just
Washington. Shit they didn't? Oh, man. God damn, I didn't notice
There's some literally teams when you're, like, realizing, like, oh, wow, like, these guys, like, haven't been playing for so long, but nobody cares. Like, so at the end of the day, you only focus on the big, big team. Look, Chicago's had so many PPD games, it's not even funny. I'm like looking at him. I'm like shrugging.
Washington.
Like,
no, but it's
Washington. That's another one. Like, half of the team was on COVID for 2 months. Denver. Michael J. Porter was gone for like almost a month and a half. Like he literally hasn't played. You know, now he's just only coming back. I mean,
I get that, but that's unfair. Like my Sixers were fucking screwed. Like we finally this week they finally was like, all right, let's postpone a game for them. We had seven people, and they were like, nah, you can still play. You still technically have another person on your roster, even though he doesn't play. And they made it, and we lost what, four games due to that, because we literally had nothing but our bench players.
Ah, but your players were putting up some stats though.
But Max, we were losing.
Shout out to Dwight Howard.
I picked up Dwight Howard though, see, right?
I like that move. I drafted Dwight Howard, I think, when I dropped him because he wasn't doing.
But that pissed me off. Like I saw all these other teams like getting PPDs, but the Sixers is like, nah, y'all can still play because we need the revenue. That's fucked up.
Yo, Lamont. Speaking of the Sixers, they're right now. They sit on top of the East.
We should have a higher win total because of those freaking games that they made us play. But I'm still happy about where we are. The only game that pissed me off that we lost is last night's game. Don't know.
So with that said, I'm thinking that you right now, if you look at the current standings for the East and the West, you're comfortable because the Philly's on top. So you don't care about nobody else.
Nah.
Fuck everybody else, right? Boston, Milwaukee, they could all kill each other. I wish the playoffs started today, bro. My Cavs are in seventh place.
They're not going to be there. They're not going to be there.
That's why I wish it started right now, bro. We're in seventh place without LeBron. I'm taking that. Yo, I took a screenshot of the standings, bro. I want to frame this right now.
He's putting that shit on his wall.
What?
You guys could talk all nice and it's all dandy. Chicago, though, it's sad right there. I saw a meme that was just horrible, man.
Yo, but didn't you say y'all was on the cusp?
How you gonna show a meme and put a Ferrari in a shack and the house is like a rundown shack and then say, yo, that's like Zach LaVine and the house is the Bulls.
Y'all need to free Zach LaVine.
Never.
Migs, but wasn't you saying, Migs, that y'all the Bulls are on the cusp?
Yes. We definitely are. We have the team.
That didn't sound. Like I said, that analysis like you said, gave me.
We have the team. It's not going to happen this year, but we have a team. Because right now you have to understand, we just got a new coach, a good coach. And right now he's busy installing his way of playing into the players that we have. But we have a lot of talent. We have a good depth. What we honestly need, like the only reason why the Bulls have not taken it to the next level is because since Michael Jordan retired, no all-star, no superstar wants to come to Chicago in their prime.
Y'all had two D-Rose, y'all had Jimmy Butler, y'all had Joaquin Noah.
There's a difference between drafting a MVP and having an MVP-like player say, I want to go to Chicago during their free agency.
You should know that already, H, because you're a fan of Cleveland.
But I said that about the Knicks. I said that about Cleveland. I said that about all bum teams. They need to really, even though you don't win championships through with rookies, you have to, these teams rely, these bottom seeds, they rely, these small markets, they rely on drafting because those are the players that are, those are the ones that are one, that are more likely to stay with you long-term. You know, of course, you got to treat them good. You got to make sure you develop them. You got to make sure you don't move their locker from one end to the next, you know, and then they come back and they want to get the hell out of there. You know, that was a bad move, you know, because it's a players league and you got to cater to the players. At the time I said, you know, he was wrong, KPJ, because he shouldn't have acted out and he should have taken that as motivation. But I'm also pro player. I think the organizations I think the Cavs mishandled that, and
what
we would have still had KPJ if it wasn't for that.
Listen. At the end of the day, the Cavs got bailed out right then and there because look, you're dealing with a rookie NBA player who decides to go and say, you know what, screw this, and get involved legally into into issue where he had to get arrested. You then get bailed out. No, nothing wrong happens to you. You're back to going on to your whole life, and you're complaining about what? Because a veteran came in off of a trade and was moved into your locker? You haven't been even playing for like almost 2 months.
It could have at
what
least.
Locker? What locker, bro? Where is this entitlement coming
from? That's at least a conversation, though.
I'm out of here.
That's at least a conversation. Look, I agree. I agree with you. Like, he shouldn't have blown it up as much as he did. But right, he had every right to be pissed. That's at least a conversation. Like, I don't think the conversation was gonna go his way, no matter what. But that's at least a conversation.
I agree. But there's always a but with these bum ass teams. If KPJ turns out to be the next James Harden or the next guy, which he has the talent. You feel me? That dude, the reason why he slid in the draft was because of his off-court issues. The reason why he got traded from Cleveland to Houston was because of his off-court issues, you know? So, right. You know, that trade right there, of course it made sense. Look, but I didn't want to see it happen.
I mean, if nobody wants to see it happen, but at the end of the day, point to me a man that had tremendous off-court issues and was successful in the NBA. And you can't count Rodman because he didn't have really on-court issues. You can't really count Iverson either because his off-court issues happened before he even got to Georgetown.
Kobe?
AI still had more. Lawson. Oh, Ty Lawson.
Kobe?
All right. Let's keep this in the realm of reality here. We're talking about a kid that just became a rookie and got arrested for something and went through the process, right? Allen Iverson doesn't really count because he did his time and whatever that altercation happened, which by the way was a real screwed up thing.
Yes,
at some point. And it caused him to slide in the draft too.
But think about it though.
He also didn't go to college.
Yeah, a high school kid was about to just
took Thompson.
His whole basketball career was about to go to ish, but thank God George Thompson, looked out for him and said, you know what, let me give this guy a chance.
R.I.P. to the God.
Kobe, you can't really talk about Kobe because while there was an allegation that happened, at no point in time did you ever get the inkling that Kobe Bryant is an issue or a liability off the court. He was always on court, and that was just something that unfortunately happened. But I'm talking about a kid that has history in the collegiate level, right? Like, think about this as a business. You're an owner that has a kid in the collegiate level already having problems. You still go out on a limb for him because of his talent and bring him in. You've done your due diligence. I'm pretty sure that he probably got him to say verbally on the record or off the record, yo, I know I messed up, but I'm going to be a better person. At least once or twice. And now you got this whole issue. And then you got this blow up with the GM. Me personally, I don't need any of that. I don't need any of that because I got players that want to that don't have those issues and that are doing everything that I'm asking of them while I'm paying them. To go out, practice, stay out of trouble, go in and try to get wins for this team, for this franchise. That's the type of people that I'm gonna want to have.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Kawhi Leonard. Hey, I'll be cahoots to him. Great to him, but at the time. He basically laid out a path and he showed me that I really can't trust him. And I didn't want to I didn't want to put the bet on him. So I'll be happy with that.
Like Lamont said, you're not wrong. And 2 weeks ago when we spoke about this issue with Kevin Porter Jr., I sounded just like you, but I had to change. Once the trade happened, I had to dial it back a little bit because once it happened, I was like, damn, man, we actually traded this guy and he has so much upside. That was a trade that I did not want to see happen, but it did. And speaking of trades, what are some of the trades, if any, that you guys think should happen right now? Like what would make sense? What you think would make a team over the top?
I don't know about trades, but I do know about roster changes. It will happen. Andre Drummond will be a Brooklyn Net this year.
A Net? I'm thinking it's going to be, well, I'm thinking, look, I'm glad you brought that up because,
I hope not.
First of all, Drummond said he likes to be, he wants to be in Cleveland, and he likes what they have going because none of that interferes with his numbers. You know, he's the clear-cut best player on the Cavs, you know, right now, aside from Love. You know, he gets his double-doubles.
I disagree with
if,
that.
If Carl was here, he would be praising Drummond right now.
I disagree with that. I think Dennis, I think Andre Drummond is a very good talent. However, Andre Drummond is in the position where he clearly wants to play for rings now. It's not about stats. He's already had that. He is an amazing defensive and offensive force, which is why he wants to force his way to the Brooklyn Nets. The moment that Cleveland got Jared Allen, they already said, we're not going to pay you whatever the hell you are demanding this summer. It's simple as that. You have three under 25 year olds within Sexton, Garland, and Jared Allen, and you're going to work it out with other people under 22, actually. And they're all going to work it out between themselves. You have them not even in their prime yet and still development stages. And from what they look like right now, that's a team to carry. I wouldn't be surprised. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Love actually, you know, gets brought out and goes to a competing team because there's really no need for Kevin Love at this point in Cleveland. I'm just saying, there's really no need for
him. We're doing all of this.
But he wants to stay there. He's nice, and I could tell he wants to stay there but not really play because you can't be sitting on the sidelines and picking up 125, 145 people on your back. What the hell was that all about? Please. Just show me, you know, that you guys are injured in some sort of way.
You know, I'm hearing.
I was against the Drummond thing for a minute, but then I took a second. I thought about it, and Drummond has horrible games against Embiid. I was gonna say no, that is too broken. Having all of those people in Brooklyn, and it's gonna be bad for my 76ers. But then I remembered, Drummond has a losing record against Embiid. So you know, matter of fact, I don't care if he goes to the Nets. So go ahead, he can go to the Nets, but other than that, that is still a broken trade if he somehow gets there. Like,
yo, I think McGee for the Nets makes more sense because I don't think they'll be able to pay Drummond. You know, I don't know how the contracts work, but I know he's not making. I know they already got three guys in there.
Has Brooklyn already used their amnesty?
Used their amnesty yet.
Because they'll do it on they'll do it on DeAndre.
And number two, I don't think Andre Drummond really is in the realm of wanting to get a big level contract. I think he's the type of person that he'll sacrifice, you know, a big level contract for a respectable contract, medium sized contract, and an opportunity to win a championship.
Yeah, because he'll get
more right Mitch. Now. Brooklyn Nets is the best opportunity, Mitch. At least for the rest of this year. Whatever happens following year, that's something different. But at least for this year, if he could finagle his way to get brought out by Cleveland, that means he's already being paid to not play for Cleveland. So he's not going to get, and that's a crazy thing, he's not going to get offered a minimum base salary or veteran salary. He's going to get a nice, decent offer to sign with Brooklyn. But at the end of the day, he's not really going to care about that money. It's going to be washed. It's the opportunity to play with those three superstars and win the championship this year.
I agree with you, Migs, but the thing is, the NBA, you know, the way the NBA is, and big man, you know, if you can't shoot a three, if you can't spread the floor, you're limited. So and Drummond is a player. Yes, he can bring up the ball, he can dish out some time. He's a walking double double, but he's in the paint. Yeah, he's like more of a traditional big. So, you know, my thing, the way I see it is, Cleveland is willing to pay. You know, even if you're a traditional big, Cleveland is willing to pay because we have the money to pay. We need to give it to somebody, you know?
You don't need to. I hate it when they say that. You don't need to.
You have to. You have to because you need – this year more than ever.
Not when you have Jared Allen. You don't need to.
You don't need to. If I'm Cleveland, I would tell them right now, like, yo, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You're worth this much. We are not going to pay you that because we don't need to.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Like, if I like you, I would literally tell him, like, look, what do you want to do? You want to go to Brooklyn? You want me to buy you out? All right, let's talk about that. I'll buy you out. Make sure you go to Brooklyn. Like it's, you know, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to tell you right now what I'm not going to do. And that's, I'm not going to pay you when I have a younger, more potentially better version of you waiting to be developed. I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to pay you. There's no need for me to pay you.
Like I said, I would be on your side, H, if it wasn't for the fact that they had Jared Allen. Like, because of Jared Allen, they don't need to play him.
You're right. Yo, I'm hearing.
I will say this though, Harold, because you were saying something that you know that you mentioned that Andre Drummond, you don't think that's the catalyst for the Nets. I will say this: in 1996, 1997, there was a team that just got eliminated in the second round, and they got eliminated because they were missing a big piece, and plus their superstar came back from retirement rusty. So guess what happened? All the Bulls, Chicago Bulls, needed was another Horace Grant, and they went out and got a better version of him in Dennis Rodman. There are some teams, there's nothing, look, right now the Brooklyn Nets do not need anything except defense, a competent big man that cares all about defense, rebounds. That's it. You don't need to score. You just need to be able to switch off of a pick, roll off of a pick, and catch lobs and dunk it, and that's all. And then just play defense. That's it. Yo, they had that in Jared Allen, but of course, when you're faced with a decision, do you want Jared Allen on your team or do you want James Harden? You're gonna go with James Harden 9 out of 10 times for sure.
Yo, this but is
now, see, if they were to get Drummond to just say, you know what, I'm buying on my contract, I'm a free agent, and I'm gonna sign with you directly.
Yo, this is when we need. See, we already missing Carl. He lives in Brooklyn. He's our Brooklyn representative. You know, he knows a lot about Brooklyn. He would have told us how the contracts work and all that stuff. But yeah, getting right to it. Like I said, I think McGee makes more sense to Brooklyn because you don't need an Andre Drummond with those guys, bro. You don't need Andre Drummond with those guys, bro. You need minimal everybody. When you got Kyrie, you got Harden, and you got KD. The big three teamed up, when any big three teamed up, you didn't hear nobody saying, oh, they need somebody else. Oh, they need somebody else. Nah, man. Y'all don't need Drummond. They don't need Drummond. They need a McGee, a guy that'll play their role. I think Drummond still has a lot of basketball left, and Drummond is good one way. He's very active. He needs the ball, and he clogs the paint.
You see where?
You feel me? So I don't think it makes sense.
The only reason why I disagree is because they lost to a team. Like I said, the reason why I disagree is because this Brooklyn Nets team that should be a world beater lost to a team that had a competent big man.
But. Come on, Lamont.
Come on, you know it's your team.
Four games in.
It's your no.
I couldn't even brag about that.
No, yes, you can. First of all, even if it is like one, 2 games in, there is no reason if you have Kyrie Irving healthy, you have James Harden healthy, you have KD healthy. Do you think that this team should be losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers twice? No.
We're not last year's Cavaliers.
No. Be real with me. Doesn't matter if they're last year's, this year's, next year's.
10 years.
There's no reason when you got those three people should you be losing to the Cavaliers. There's no reason, bruh.
If the Brooklyn Nets had any player that had an ounce, I'm talking about just 25% of Kobe in them, one of those players would have dropped, would have lost at least shooting a minimum of 70 shots that game.
Yo, we're not gonna make this a Brooklyn Nets podcast again. Mm. Yo, I'm hearing Lonzo Ball in trade talks.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That right there is one of those things where you just set up a recipe for disaster if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, because for you to decide and think about, you know what, I could understand J.J. Redick. JJ Redick has not been good this year. You know, he still is a valuable, you know, off the bench character. So you could move him, you know, for something. But to throw in Lonzo Ball right there, I mean, I gotta tell you, I don't know about you, but from what I've seen so far, Lonzo Ball is not a bad basketball player.
No.
Now, if you're comparing him to LaMelo Ball, his brother, then yes, LaMelo Ball is totally way better than him, you know, right now and in the future. He's gonna end up being a better basketball player than Lonzo Ball. But Lonzo Ball is not a bad player. He's a great floor general, I believe. And, you know, what I think he needs to do more is be a little bit more aggressive with his jump shooting. But you wouldn't want to trade him especially when you have a young core. So that right there, that's a recipe for disaster if I'm a New Orleans Pelican fan.
Would you take Lonzo over to the Bulls? Because I'd like him on the Bulls.
No, I would not. I would not take him to the Bulls. And you know why? Because we have a nice player called Kobe White. He's doing great for us, and we don't need to move off.
But Kobe's not really a floor general. I feel like Lonzo would make Zach LaVine look even better than what he already looks.
Honestly, I'm not. I'm going to stick with Kobe because at the end of the day, Kobe's younger. He has less drama to him. And I could develop and more him. And when I mean drama, Lonzo Ball in no shape or form is a dramatic man, but his last name carries a couple of liabilities. You know, he carries a good father. He's out there in social media. Kobe White, you know, shoot. Kobe White right now could walk over to, you know, get some, you know, fried chicken over at the spot, you know, downtown Chicago right now. Nobody will even notice him, you know? So that's what I like about Kobe White. He's good right there. But Lonzo... He shouldn't be traded from the Pelicans. I think they have a good thing going, and they really should consider keeping him.
What do you guys think? What trade would help the Sacramento Kings out? Because every time I look at the Sacramento Kings, I feel like they are – there's something just is not working.
Fire Luke.
Other than getting rid of Luke Walton, like, is there a personality – Luke. You can't trade a coach.
Sacramento?
Actually, can you trade a coach?
Yeah, I think that's what they need. I think a coach.
You cannot trade a coach outright. Well, you can give someone the rights to a coach and recover some draft picks, but you can't physically trade a coach. The Sacramento Kings are the Sacramento Kings. They've been the Sacramento Kings since the DeMarcus Cousins ways. They've been the Sacramento. Like, this is what we expect. Listen, right now, when there are teams in the NBA when you expect them to move a certain way. And right now, Sacramento is moving the same way I expect them to be, which is they don't know what the hell they're doing. They have no inclination of the next. They don't have a five-year plan. And I understand the way that their dysfunctionality is. Are they underachieving? Yes. I think they've set the bar better for themselves last year. They should be a better team than they are this year.
Yeah.
And you obviously see a lot of problems. And at the end of the day, it's not the talent. It's not the front management office either. It's the coaching. It's the method of how they want to play. So, yes, if you could get rid of Luke Walton, I'm sorry, Luke. You're a great guy. You know, I love your dad. You did win a couple of rings with Kobe, but you gotta go, man, because you right now don't know what you're doing as far as coaching.
Bro, the highlight of his career as a coach was stepping in for Steve Kerr, you know, and just grabbing the wheel for a couple of games on a well-oiled machine, a team that won on its own.
My guy, I could have coached the
exactly any of us, bro. And Marvin Bagley, Marvin Bagley has regressed. Wasn't he one of the his rookie year, he was scary, man. He was dropping numbers, and then all of a sudden, he just stops.
For all 25, 30 games that he played, yes, he was looking like he was going to be a great, great basketball player. But, yeah, he regressed. And, you know, again, it all comes down to the coaching style. You know, right now, they have too many players and don't know what to do with them. And they're gonna regress, each and every one of them. Fox. Yo.
Going back to the Pelicans, Migs, I think they're panicking a bit because, you know, even though they're in the 14th place, they're like five games under 500 in a hard West, in a tough West, you know, because I'm hearing that they're willing to pair up Eric Bledsoe. I'm hearing Eric Bledsoe, Lonzo, JJ Redick. I wouldn't get rid of Lonzo. Yes, he's struggling this year, and LaMelo doing what he's doing, it doesn't make him look any better. But, you know, LaMelo got benched recently, so, you know, these rookies have ups and downs.
And his Lonzo, backup was cooking.
But Lonzo, he could get it together. He still got upside. He still got mad talent. You know, it's just that that team got to gel more. And they lost Drew Holiday, which was the veteran, you know, the consistent, because you need a veteran on the team.
Well, there you go.
That's player.
That's the problem with them right there, is that what they lost in Drew Holiday wasn't a veteran and wasn't an on the court leader, because Lonzo Ball dominates those categories. What they lost when they let Drew Holiday go was scoring. Lonzo Ball isn't a scorer, never has been, probably never will be. He's a guy that's just a floor manager. I'm going to give you assists. I'm going to run the plays. I'm going to put you in the best position for you to score. As for me, I'm just going to settle for the open shots, really, you know, or fast breaks. That's all I'm going to really do. So that's the problem with them. When they changed that dynamic, they didn't have they don't have a backcourt, because you got to understand JJ Redick right now is missing every bucket that he shoots at. Bro. So they don't have a backcourt that could score points, you know. So, but as far as efficiency goes, no, Lonzo Ball, definitely they should keep him over there. But again, at the end of the day, when you just mentioned a couple of players,
Mags.
Think about it. If you're going to trade with the New Orleans Pelicans and you can't get Zion and you can't get Bynum, right? The next person you're going to have to want to get is Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I mean, Migs, Lamont, is any of that going to matter if the season is canceled due to COVID? Because the way it's going, all these PPDs, all these player outs because the COVID protocol, and bro, it's ruining fantasy. It's ruining my team. I'm losing to dudes rolling the dice because you don't know which game is going to postpone. I imagine it as that game that it's like Duck Hunt. You see the duck flying.
Classic.
You see the duck flying and then boom, you just see him go down. That's how my players are looking, bro. My players are flying, and then boom, they just get shot, bro. That's crazy, man.
I will say this though, I do acknowledge the fact that out of the last sports, basketball has had more post games than any other sport, than football post COVID and baseball post COVID. But I will also say this. Basketball is the most easiest sport out of the three to reschedule. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's why it's like, I don't know if you've noticed the way that they've been making up the games, you're getting a lot of teams that were supposed to play three games per this week are now playing four, sometimes even five.
Yeah. But Max, have they scheduled any rescheduled games? They played rescheduled games?
They did that at the end of last week. They rechanged the roster for about five NBA teams, one of them being, the Warriors, another one being Portland, another one being, even the 76ers. They rescheduled those games to be played out more recently instead of pushing them back even further. So it comes down to the fact that, you know, when you really think about it, those are the easiest games. Really, baseball is easier because it's used to be being played every day. But because of COVID, they switched it up. Football is definitely the hardest because you've only got, at the end of the day, you've got to fit them in, in 16 weeks. That's it. But basketball, yeah, you have a lot of segue with it. I will say this, though, and it's something that you touched on, you know, kind of briefly earlier on in the pod, is the fact that a lot of these some teams are managing things better than others, like the Lakers. The Lakers are – you're right. The Lakers,
I was going to bring that up.
The Lakers are managing COVID. They're managing everything in a more efficient and professional manner. To throw on the off base of that, the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks have actually managed. The Knicks haven't missed a game, really. Like, not because anybody on their team was on COVID. You know, they're another team that, you know, that they're not really, like, in a championship caliber team, but they have managed it very well.
Yeah, but yo, and we touched up on it earlier in the pod when we started. You know, the conspiracy theory of, you know, why aren't the Lakers, why aren't the Knicks, the big franchises and big markets, why aren't they, you know, postponing, you know, especially the Lakers. The Lakers not missing a game, LeBron playing every game. Yo, you got to raise the eyebrow, Lamont, come on.
No, I think
I'm far off.
No, I just think that they're taking it a lot more seriously, and they have the funds to do it. Like, I don't think it's far-fetched that there are people in the Lakers organization that their job is literally to make sure that these guys are not catching COVID. Like, exactly. I'm pretty sure somebody was hired just to make sure that they have their own special bubble.
I would
make
sure that they're going. Hope so.
And then, you know what? Let's keep it real, man. This disease is kind of, you know, it makes no sense. Look, for example, let's take, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, for example. The man lost 7 family members to this thing, to COVID, including his mom.
Yo, crazy.
So if I'm sorry, but I think that if out of all the NBA players right now on the roster, the one that would take it more importantly would be the guy that had his mom just lost to COVID, right? And yet right now he has COVID. So I'm pretty sure that at some point in time, you know, like, he doesn't look like a guy, like, you know, he doesn't look like a very reckless dude by nature. So and he doesn't look like a very outgoing guy either. So it's one of those things where it just sporadically happened. It happened to be him. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've got friends that they've gotten COVID, but yet their, you know, their wives, their children, none of them have tested positive. You know, and they've been quarantined with them. So that means that you are, you know, you have it. You're able. You're in the contagion period, but you don't have any symptoms. But you're still able to pass it on to others. And you were living with, you know, human beings, and you're not passing it on to them. It's a weird dynamic. It's really a weird dynamic, man. MPJ, Michael Porter Jr. This guy literally was out, you know, for 4 or 5 days because of COVID protocol, because of COVID protocols. And then it just turns out that he was then, because of, you know, second contact, he was out. He went from 7 days to another 20, you know, to 21 total days.
I
don't know. It's just one of those things. Like,
yo, weird, for a second there, man, I thought Paul Millsap was gonna start doing his thing, but then I realized that Michael Porter Jr. is just in COVID protocol. Yo, is this shit messing up the fantasy season, bro? Is it like, what, y'all want your money back? Refund? What's going on?
League. Like I said, one league, I'm 5-0 right now. The only one that's messed COVID has messed up me in is FIBA. FIBA is the only one that COVID's messed me up in, but I'm okay because I'm still in the cusp of making the playoffs on that one. My team is still doing well.
You know it's bad when Lamont is at the top of the fucking standings, bro. Go. This is the guy that
here
that game.
We go. First of all, that was a good trade. Y'all were just fucking trolls.
What trade?
They're talking about the Luka one because Luka had a better season than Kemba, but because Kemba was already a proven star, y'all were like, nah.
Hey, you traded Luka in what league?
In FBA.
Now, recently?
No, this was...
No. That was his first season in FBA.
That was...
His first season in FBA.
That was Luka's rookie year.
I was, like, thinking to myself, I'm like...
He's like, why would they troll him on that one?
Honestly, guys, honestly, I'm gonna be really, you know, and you could quote me on this because it's going to be on record. As far as fantasy leagues go, and by the way, audience, all of us that are on this podcast, we all belong into not one, but many leagues, you know, all together pertaining to basketball. So we're all trying to win all the leagues just so we could, you know, gloat it and throw it in the face of everybody else. Guys, you guys, unless there is a COVID pandemic or, you know, my players just, you know, get injured, you guys are losing FBA. I'm just letting you know that right now. You guys are losing FBA.
I think it's going to even out because of the rescheduled games and all of that and injuries, you know, because yo, I hate it so much when my players, you know, postpone games. That shit is the worst. Or COVID protocol. That shit is the worst. But because the player's not even injured or nothing. You're just missing the straight up games. You're just missing the stats. So, but I don't think it's messing up fantasy because in my mind, you know, it might not be true. I don't know how we don't know how true it is, but you know, your opponent is also dealing with the same thing. So it's not just a one-sided thing. You know, you would hope that your opponent is dealing with the same thing, you know, but in some instances I straight up lost because my team had postponed games. My players had postponed games and my opponent didn't, which that was like crazy. And then, you know, my opponent, I think it was at the start, I forgot who it was and in what league, but I think it was Janelle and LOC. He beat me badly. And I got one of the top teams because of my postponed games. I don't remember him having as many as I did. I think he had like one or two. I had like four. Bro, Washington players, Sacramento, I think, had a couple of postponed games or something. And, you know, Washington, we haven't seen them. We saw them yesterday, last night on the versus Houston. But before that, a week, bro, a week. You know, I picked up Mo Wagner because of the Thomas Bryant injury. I still have yet to see that man play. You feel me? And I picked him up 2 weeks ago.
Listen, the only reason why I've lost is because of, like, the scheduling. Regardless of whether it's PPDs or the fact that, like, hey, look.
You got the best team, boy.
More people playing. Yeah, bar for bar, of course I have the best team. You got the best team, boy. It's not even close. Yeah. You know what? But what's funny is I just want to give a shout out to Christian Wood. That is a player that was on the Philadelphia 76ers roster, and they did not value him as such. He then went off to move on to Detroit, where he blossomed, and now he's playing for Houston, where he's, you know, the number two player there, killing it. You know, and if you follow him, you know, shout out to Christian Wood again. If you follow him, he always had that in himself where he said, like, you know what, I am one of the best players on this team, but because of the system, because of, you know, whatever reason, you know, you didn't take a chance. So that's another that's a big loss right there for Philadelphia, if anything.
Not really for his position,
but you could have had, but because of that, you're paying right now Tobias Harris to do the same thing that Christian Wood could do. Just saying.
I don't think that I would like a team with Christian Wood and Embiid being in the same area. I prefer Tobias Harris. That's just me.
Yo, a news reporter asked MJ if he thought the 90s Bulls could beat LeBron's Lakers. MJ said yes. The reporter said, asked, by how much? MJ said, 2 or 3 points. Reporter said, why such a close game? MJ said, well, most of us are 60 now.
Pa-dum-psh. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Is it?
The 90s Bulls would have beaten every team that ever was thrown at them, with the exception. And I will say this one, and this would have been an interesting one. If you would have put a team with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Anthony Davis, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving.
Oh, so you're going to...
That would have been a very... Yeah.
So like a team full of Hall of Famers? Well, I don't know if Kevin Love... Well, no. The NBA, the basketball makes almost everybody a Hall of Famer.
You pick the bench, but I just want that Chicago USA Bulls team. Bulls.
Yeah, pretty much. Team USA versus the Bulls.
yo, that meme that we saw. Come on, man, they're 60, bro. You know that. This is all right. Y'all accept that, right? Y'all accept a MJ bragging meme talking about 60. In my 60s, I could beat the Lakers right now by 2 or 3 points.
That's what they're supposed to do.
But then y'all laugh when a European coach says Michael Jordan would be an ordinary player
because that's not
if he came to Europe.
Because that doesn't make any sense.
How?
because there's European players that have come to the
But it makes as much. All right, that doesn't make
it makes as much sense.
MJ at 60 saying the Bulls right now at 60 years old.
What Michael Jordan said,
beat the Lakers by 2 or 3.
That right there is, I'm telling you right now, that coach, I love him. I don't even remember. I can't even pronounce his name right now. If you pay me $1 million to. But I'm telling you right now, that coach is legendary because he did a troll, complete 1,000% troll right there. Like, just based off of no facts. And he just came out and said, nah, he would have done it and done it this way. And I love it. I love it. But then again, when you really think about it,
That's how I feel about that. This is ludicrous. 60-year-old men can't beat.
It's a joke. LeBron and no. The reason why is because like MJ was making a joke because that's how competitive he is. We all know if he played LeBron right now at his current age, he's not winning.
Why is this even a discussion?
Yeah, that's not like I said. He's not winning. It's a joke.
It's a troll. It's a troll topic. It's a troll topic.
You know what's funny? You know what's hilarious about this?
People love troll topics.
You are right. LeBron James would win, right? But damn it, you ain't going to tell me that Michael Jordan going to score at least 6-7 points.
No. Mike is still going to score because his jumper is still wet. The jumper don't go away.
He's still going to hit at least. He's going to get a clean 7 points.
He's pulling his back. He's pulling his back and he's getting his ass.
No, Mike. How you got into my crib, bro?
He's stuck into the back. I saw him. Mike still plays. But
LeBron James invests in his body. There's only two athletes in the world in sports that do that, LeBron James and Tom Brady. The minute Jordan gets on that court, he's pulling his back and he's taking his ass
back. You're joking. He's not. But Mike still plays, right? He's definitely not going to dominate.
You don't think he's going to guard him up?
No, but he still beats people who are young, a lot younger than him when he plays. But what he does the old man game. He doesn't do the old man game with like the, where you expect like the bigger old man game where they just back you down and stuff like that. He does the old man game, the skinny old man game where he takes 2 or 3 dribbles and he shoots. That's what he's doing. He's doing all jumpers. After a while, LeBron is going to shut that down. And Mike is going to at least at max score 10 points. Then LeBron
Listen to what you just started with, though. When Jordan plays against these young kids, not when Jordan plays against these NBA level players.
No, he still plays against NBA level players. I didn't say young kids.
NBA level competition. I'm not talking about a friendly expedition where they're not guarding each other and stuff like that. I'm talking about 5-on-5. We're trying to beat
I'm talking about 1-on-1.
I can't use that to metric that because Devin Booker proved already when they play expedition games, they don't guard each other up.
There's one thing I know about Michael Jordan and his tenacity and his competitiveness. If Michael Jordan has to transfer his body into another soul of a younger person, he'll find a way and do it.
Michael Jordan is 80 years old. He's still going to drop 15 on LeBron.
No, Mike, you're taking this way too seriously. Whenever you guard somebody, and like LeBron is not going to go easy on Michael Jordan because it's Michael Jordan. Like whenever you guard somebody, you assess their game first so you know what to do. He doesn't have any game tape to go against 60, whatever how old Michael Jordan is right now, right? So you're going to see what Mike is going to do with his dribbles and pull up and do his shots, right? He's going to at least get 7 to 10 points. After that, LeBron is shutting him down, and LeBron is basically going to be doing what the original old man game is to Michael Jordan, and he's going to back him down, and there's nothing Michael can do about it.
I'm calling Uber, Harold.
He's got a decision to be in the fact that
60-year-old LeBron.
What are you talking about? That's how they play. LeBron is watching Michael Jordan.
My Uber is
LeBron James is going to use his physical body to beat Jordan. And Jordan's going to use his experience and his fadeaway to beat LeBron. That's common sense. Okay,
he's not going to beat LeBron, but he's scoring.
He's just saying what he's going to use to try to beat
him. Bro, the only points Jordan's scoring in that game is the, oh, come on, old head. Come on, you can do it, old head. Yeah, respect, old head. Much love, man. Go ahead, Mike.
That's how you assess how to play somebody defensively. LeBron is a smart defender.
It's letting him get a point out of respect. No, it's not.
You're not listening. 60. He's watching his game. Like, it's the same like when they watch game tape. You have to know what they're going to do. So, well, Mike is doing his couple of dribbles, fade away, boom, like that, right? That's LeBron taking that in. As soon as he does it a third time, you know what's happening? LeBron is stuffing that shit. He's getting blocked. As soon as he does the next dribble, guess what's happening? He's taking the ball from him. That's how you play defense.
Do you think you have to play defense on a 60-year-old Michael Jordan that probably has not stepped on the court for a while?
Yes, because
he got to rely on the jumper.
Yes, he is because it's Michael Jordan.
Listen, I have faith in these.
I'll guard Michael Jordan. I triple dog anybody on this podcast.
I'll do it.
That is Mike Jordan. I'll do it for money.
Michael Jordan, if you're listening for a 25% stake of your company, I'll play you one on one.
25% stake of his company.
And I'm the first to 21.
Listen, you can do that bet, and Mike Jordan would tell you right now.
I'm leaving him at seven. I'm gonna leave him at seven.
You're not beating MJ.
Yeah.
You are not beating MJ, Mike.
You're not beating MJ.
My pager just beeped. I gotta go.
He starts running. He's pulling his hamstring. He's sitting his ass back.
You understand?
On the
he doesn't have to. First of all, Mike, you are 5'10 on a good day.
Okay.
Michael Jordan is still 6'6. All right.
Old head ain't doing shit to me.
I'm with Mike. I'm with Mike's first point when he came in and said, why are we even talking about
because
this?
You brought it up. Shut up. I'm leaving your house.
This guy Lamont, the biggest troll,
talking about why we bringing this up as he brought up the topic. Lamont
brought up this topic.
Yo, thanks everybody for listening to the Coach's Challenge podcast. Now all of y'all can get the hell out of my crib.
Hold on. Before Jordan, Michael Jordan.
All right, man. I got my Uber already called anyway, man.
I'm out of here.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan, I'm calling you out. First to 21, I'm leaving you at 7 for 25% stake of your company.
Mike, get out.
Uber's here anyways. Fuck you guys.
Oh, shit. Great times, everybody. I'll see y'all next week.